Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
The President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, come to the annual prayer breakfast, which began under the Eisenhower administration, and for 58 consecutive years, the President of the United States has attended.
It really is a chance to reflect as a nation on this intersection of faith and politics.
We become absorbed with our abstract arguments, our ideological disputes, our contests for power. And in this Tower of Babel, we lose the sound of God's voice.
The speaker here was Mother Teresa. She gave a strong address against abortion. And then she asked to see me. And I thought, oh dear.
Well, coming up in just a couple days, everyone will be finding their sweetheart, hoping to find their sweetheart, giving gifts and candy and flowers. It is an innocuous holiday here in America, Valentine's Day. It is one where husbands and wives go out to eat, where husbands and wives-to-be stare longingly into one another's eyes. It's a day of romance and of love, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. Does it have anything to do with St. Valentine, the early 4th century martyr? Probably not. Maybe a little bit. We'll find out in the first 10 minutes here of Issues Etc. It's Friday, February the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first segment talking about St. Valentine with Pastor Heath Curtis, and then we'll talk to Dr. Jeff Gibbs for the rest of today's program about what the church celebrates on the 14th Sunday, the Transfiguration of our Lord. A very significant event, a unique event in the ministry of Jesus. We'll find out what it's all about in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
Congratulations on the birth of your latest child. I understand the circumstances of that birth were pretty interesting.
Yeah. I don't recommend car birth, but all things ended up working well, so we're very thankful.
And the child's name?
Linus.
Great name. It's my son's middle name, by the way. It's a biblical name, isn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. In 1 Timothy 4.
We know so little about St. Valentine, early 4th century martyr. Let's talk about what we do know, but especially about what the church was facing in the early 4th century.
Yeah, all we really know is that from some early time period, there probably is, in fact, more than one guy with this name. It's a very popular name, Valentinus. It means, you know, strong or healthy or worthy. And so it's a popular name, and so there are probably several Christians, probably several pastors in the city of Rome with this name, who died in the various persecutions in the late 3rd or early 4th century. In fact, the first chief pastor of Rome, Gelasius I, who, to include Valentine in the remembrance of him in the prayers of the church, mentioned even that really he's one of these guys that, you know, we know about him, we know that he martyred, but really only God knows the details of his life. And so the church is never claimed to know a whole lot about him besides his name and the fact that he refused to turn his back on his Lord and instead faced death rather than turn away from Jesus.
It's difficult for us to understand the circumstances that Christians were facing in the Roman Empire at this time. Why did they value martyrdom so very highly? It seems kind of counterproductive to value the death of your adherents.
Right. I think things for us would take on a very different hue if that persecution was simply an everyday event for us. Because in that situation where Christians are constantly being, where your faith is called to the forefront, and that choice is presented to you so starkly between death and following your Lord and turning your back on your Lord, you know, one or the other. You're going to follow your Lord and die, or you're going to turn your back on him and go on living in this world. If that's a real possibility that can happen at any time across society, across the church, then martyrdom is going to be important to hear those stories. It's going to be important to have the example of other people's strong faith and to highlight their faith because it is an encouragement to the rest who may face that same persecution any and every day. It's mental preparation. If you continually hear the story of the martyrs and about their faith, then perhaps you too, you'll see it coming. It's really the same reason Jesus warned his disciples that persecutions would come, that if the world hated him, the world will hate them, and so forth. He told them that so that they would be warned ahead of time, that they would prepare their hearts and minds to face this very difficult situation. Jesus did not want the church to be surprised by that. And that's certainly one big reason why the church to this day has more martyrs, really, than anything else in the sanctoral calendar.
Do we have any idea how the name of St. Valentine became associated with the modern practice of St. Valentine's Day, other than the date, with the day for lovers, the day for romance?
Right. There are a couple guesses, at least. It's an old folk custom in Italy. Part of the folklore is that the birds, and especially in southern Italy, spring is just starting to begin at this time, especially in the old Julian calendar. And the folklore was that the birds pick their mates for the year on February 14th. February 14th also falls in the middle of a normal Roman feast, the Lupercalia, which is kind of has romantic overtones as well. So it probably just has to do with the fact that he just happened to be killed on this day, and so the romance is really attached to February 14th, and St. Valentine just happened to die on February 14th.
So a coincidence of days.
Correct.
All right. The church in the 4th century is on the cusp of a real change. I mean, by the time we hit 325, the church will have gone from being an illegal religion to being not only a legal religion, but in time almost the official religion of the Roman state. What did we lose by becoming legal?
Quite a bit. Whenever I teach this period in history to a Bible class or something, I always refer to it as the tragedy of the 4th century. That the Roman state was allowed to co-opt the church. We went from, in 303, Emperor Diocletian went to the oracle of Apollo at Delphi and basically asked, what's going on? Why are things going so poorly? And the oracle at Delphi blamed it on the Christians. That launched the last of the big pagan persecutions of Christians. Then by 312, this guy Constantine, who's basically just a warlord, he wants to find a way to consolidate his power. He decides that he's going to run with the Christians. Remember, he's not baptized in 325 when he calls the council. He's still kind of playing both ends against the middle. When Constantine issues his coinage, he puts a cross on one side and the unconquered sun on the other, so you could kind of have your pick with Constantine. At any rate, the church is co-opted by Constantine and then especially his son and grandson, to the point where his grandson in 389 closes all pagan temples and really consolidates power around the Christian church begins appointing bishops, and bishops are kind of owe him allegiance and so forth, and the church becomes an arm of the state. Down to the time period that we're most familiar with it, I think, in our history, right before the Reformation, where the king is basically in control of the religion in his territory. He enforces the paying of tithes, and to the point where even dissenters from the official line of the Christian religion are now in danger of being martyred. John Huss, you know, Luther is declared an outlaw because he makes the Pope angry, and so forth. All of that, all the problems we've had with church and state, can all be traced back to this tragedy of the fourth century, when the church allowed itself to be gobbled up by Constantine and his descendants.
With only a minute, perhaps even less, how should the church remember Saint Valentine from the early fourth century?
I really like having these almost anonymous saints. We usually do the saint. We do a saint a week at our Wednesday Divine Service. And I like these almost nameless ones because they're a reminder to us today that even in our struggles and our hardships and our following the Lord, we, even though it seems like we may be forgotten by everyone else, the Lord remembers us. And so it is good to remember these saints we don't know much about, because in the future, probably nobody's going to know much about you or me, but the Lord will remember us. The Lord will know us. The Lord will vindicate us on the last day in the resurrection. And so that can be a great encouragement to those who struggle today in anonymity and in silence.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Pastor, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, while the world celebrates Valentine's Day, and that's a fine thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Love those that God has given you as loved ones, wives, husbands, boyfriends, girlfriends, children, parents. That's a good thing. The church will be remembering the transfiguration of our Lord. We'll do the same on this Friday afternoon with Dr. Jeff Gibbs right after this break. Stay tuned.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is the Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes-but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.